Coming up on Thursday at the Chapel Hill Public Library, the League of Women Voters of Orange, Durham, and Chatham Counties and the Chapel Hill branch of the American Association of University Women, AAUW, coming together to sponsor a discussion of civil rights then and now in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Law of 1965. Featured speaker is going to be NC Central Law Professor Irving Joyner. And joining us now is Professor Joyner, along with Janet Hoy, president of the League of Women Voters, and Bea Keller, president of the American Association of University Women in Chapel Hill. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
So, Janet, Bea, let me begin with you. How did this event come about, and what is it a larger part of?
The League of Women Voters of Orange, Durham, and Chatham counties has worked, has done a couple programs every year in conjunction with the American Association of University Women. And the League of Women Voters, just really briefly, is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government. And by nonpartisan, I mean we never support candidates or parties, but instead we influence public policy through advocacy and education. So the kind of program that Dr. Joyner is going to do on Thursday is very much a part of educating our local communities about topics that are of general interest and are relevant. And since it's synonymous with the anniversary, we thought this would be a great opportunity to kind of join together our organizations and provide a public forum.
And League of Women Voters is all about getting the word out and informing voters. There's some candidate forums coming up, and I want to talk about that in a few minutes, too,
okay.
But to mention that as well. Bea, what's the role of the American Association of University Women in this?
Well, we are really our sister organizations, and we share a lot of the same policies and ideology. Perhaps the AAUW tends to focus on women and girls and education for them, whereas the League works is really about governance.
Mm-hmm.
And policies. But we're both nonprofit, we're both nonpartisan, and we do want to influence public policy.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, this event is going to be at the Chapel Hill Public Library, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. Everyone is invited to it. It's going to be very informative, important, and interesting. And Professor Joyner, responsible for the important, the informative, and the interesting altogether, I'm going to turn to you. What can we expect to hear on Thursday?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out myself. we're talking about civil rights then and now. There's an old saying that when you don't know what you're doing, you do what you know. And I think education is the common theme in all that that we do in trying to inform people so they can understand the importance of civil rights, the breadth of civil rights, because it covers so much of our daily lives. And so we want to talk about some of that. And then how these protections came about,
mm-hmm.
What was the genesis of them, and then the impact. And then to look at the kind of attacks that we are presently dealing with respect to any area of civil rights. And there are many attacks that's being leveled right now.
The then and the now. And again, it's going to be a discussion of the history of the Voting Rights Act, but also the relevance today. And there's so much relevance today with the Shelby County decision, with the voting rights or the voter ID bill that the General Assembly passed, ongoing lawsuits in North Carolina. Texas, wasn't there? There was just a decision. Am I right about the state?
Yes.
So there's a lot to talk about. What do people not know that they ought to know? And I know there's a bunch of different answers to this question about the Voting Rights Act and its relevance today.
Well, a lot of people don't really understand the importance of the Voting Rights Act. And then the fact that the Shelby decision has dismantled a key portion of the Voting Rights Act by taking away the pre-clearance coverage that the Justice Department used to have, and that has allowed for the states to impose all kinds of draconian laws and efforts to undermine the right to vote for a lot of people. So that is something that people need to understand, but also people need to understand, how do you repair the breach that has been developed up until this point, and knowing the history and the importance will help you to formulate some remedy as to what we need to be doing in order to restore the status quo.
And you've been following we're speaking with Irving Joyner, Janet Hoy B. Keller. This event is going to be at the Chapel Hill Public Library, 6:30 on Thursday evening. Civil Rights Then and Now is the title of the discussion. Everyone's invited to that. Dr. Joyner, you've been following the legal case, not just in North Carolina, but also at the Supreme Court level nationwide. A lot of state-level lawsuits going through in different states, including most recently, notably, the one in Texas where the court overturned their law, which has a lot of similarities to North Carolina's. What surprised you the most about all of this?
Well, the Texas decision is an important one. It did not go as far as we wanted the court to go. There you're talking about the effect of the voter ID requirement that's there. The court did not determine that there was intentional discrimination present there. Then there's the South Carolina kind of bailout provision that they've created to get around some of the force of the voter ID. But a lot of people just make the assumption that everyone has an ID, and that is an easy thing to be able to present it. And if you don't have one, that there is something wrong with you. While the our Constitution says doesn't say anything about having to have an ID, as long as you can establish that you are who you are, you have a right to vote whether you have an ID or not. So that's going to be a big struggle, particularly for people who were born without birth certificates. And they are in North Carolina, literally thousands of people who don't have birth certificates. There are people who come into our states who are unable to get birth certificates, and that is the foundation document needed for a lot of these voter IDs. And so without that, then those people are disfranchised. And that is certainly alien to the Constitution, and that's what we're trying to remedy.
Speaking with, again, Irving Joyner, NC Central School of Law, Janet Hoy, the League of Women Voters of Orange, Durham, and Chatham County, V. Keller, President of the American Association of University Women in Chapel Hill. This event is going to be 6:30 on Thursday, Chapel Hill Public Library, Civil Rights Then and Now. Janet B., let me turn it back to you. Janet, first, what has the League of Women Voters' role been in the Voting Rights Act?
Well, actually, the League of Women Voters is involved in three lawsuits, current litigation that's going on in different parts of the law. There are two cases that are being heard in state court, and there's one that's being heard in federal court. The first one is on the redistricting case, and that has to do with how the districts were redrawn after the 2010 census. And that the general basis of that is that there's a apparent effort to dilute the impact of voting of African Americans and to change the districts so that the African American districts have less sort of clout in the election. So that's one of them. Then, as Professor Joyner talked about, there's one about the voter ID. And that's a little bit in limbo at the moment because it was amended just this past June to allow a voter who has what's called a reasonable impediment to cast a ballot, meaning if they can't easily come up with a picture ID, there will be some alternates available to them. And because of that change, it's sort of the judge has to decide whether we need to file another lawsuit or we continue on with this one. So we're waiting for an answer on that one. And the final one is the one in federal court, and that is about the big changes to the voting laws, which has to do with the reduction in early voting. It went from 3 weeks down to 2 weeks, elimination of same-day voting and registration during early voting, which was a really big deal, was new to me. I'm relatively new to the state, and a real help, I think, for people who had moved and hadn't changed their registration, et cetera, allowed them to vote during early voting. Mm. And then the final part of that is an elimination of the out-of-precinct voting. And again, we're sort of waiting to hear what's going to happen with that one. So all of these three have been filed and heard or in some part of the process, and we're sort of waiting to get the results back on
it. Really is so much to consider and to talk about. You know, we're talking about the voter ID bill, but voter ID is one provision of this much, much larger bill. Redistricting is a whole other thing. The state just passed the reasonable impediment amendment to that bill. Back to you, Professor Joyner, do you expect that reasonable impediment amendment to affect the ultimate outcome of all of the court cases?
We just spent a little over 3 weeks in trial in July dealing with all of the other provisions, and we are expecting a decision from the federal judge in that case within weeks. Mm-hmm. We tried that without dealing with the voter ID portion. The judge is now making some decision about whether we ought to have another hearing to deal with that. So we are kind of waiting with bated breath for the judge to make a decision, so we'll know if we'll have to be back in court fighting out that part of the lawsuit. All of it is important, and we have to deal with it as it comes down.
B. Keller, American Association of University Women, you mentioned the AAUW is more into advocacy. What has been the role of the organization in terms of civil rights?
Well, we're for the civil rights of all individuals, but we pay particular attention to women and the gender parity in, for example, salaries and that sort of thing, and violence against women. That, you know, that's the kind of thing that we tend to focus on.
How relevant is the Voting Rights Act for gender issues?
In the largest portion of the population that doesn't have an ID are women. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's very relevant.
Janet B. Irving, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Okay.
Terrific. Thank you
very much.